Acting the maggot.
Acting the maggot.
I've not heard that before.
Have you never heard Acting the maggot?
Acting the goat. We do Acting the goat over here.
I like Acting the maggot a lot.
Can anyone else feel Richie's Doctor Who tension? He's like, you know, come on, guys.
No, my tension is just. I now need to lead a podcast. Which
I should turn my game down.
Hey, the TARDIS Doctor Who. Hey,
he's here.
Go on.
doctor.
Hello and welcome to I Hate Doctor Who, a podcast that covers the full Venn diagram of people who love Doctor Who and people who hate Doctor Who. Now, on the one side of the Venn diagram, the haters, we've got Sean and Owen. On the right hand side, we've got the lovers. And right, the arsehole in the middle, the wee bumhole in the middle of the Venn diagram, we have Gavin Spence, who hates Doctor Who but has bought several box sets
and watched quite a lot of it since it came out on the iPlayer.
The glorious iPlayer.
I'm not proud of this thing that I've become, but here we are.
Oh, you buy the box sets and you look at them with your fists clenched.
Yeah, it's nice to have a talisman to pour my hate into, you know.
Richie, I must say, I was thinking earlier on about the fact that you are a Doctor Who fan who does a podcast with people who don't like Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. And I think, absolutely fair play, because I was trying to think, what thing do I really love that I would be willing to sit and listen to people who don't like it? I mean, I couldn't put up with that for a minute. How dare they disagree with me?
Yeah, we're all sitting there ripping into fucking 90s Spider-Man. You're sitting there, furious.
Yeah, Sean's, we tried to do that with Owen before, the I Hate 90s Spider-Man thing, and it was just...
I've never seen Owen like that. Because he can't take a joke.
We recorded 12 full episodes and...
Yeah.
He burned the tapes.
You should have seen him edit them. He was editing them all purse-lipped, sitting there. Yeah. Fucking raging.
I don't know what it is about... we all know... God knows we all know there are a contingent of Doctor Who fandom that probably wouldn't be able to deal with that. But I feel like certainly all the Doctor Who fans in my life have a good sense of humour about it.
Do they, I?
Let us know in the comments.
Aye.
You're a very good sport, Richie, is what I'm saying.
I was going to say,
what a good sport, what a great guy.
I agree. One of my best friends.
Can we get on to how shite this episode
was? If it was just the three of you throwing pelters at me for the full thing, I probably wouldn't be back. Although saying that, maybe that's why I've been getting forced and tricked into doing more.
That's a good point. We are being all like, oh, fair play for running this podcast so consistently.
To me, it always makes me think it's an empathy thing, because obviously, once you're in those shoes, you know, we don't really know what it's like to have something we love ripped apart like this. Like, if Sean's smiling now, but imagine we were doing a podcast where we ripped into Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, fuck. You know? He's annoyed enough at the thought.
No, I couldn't handle that.
That's it. It'd be like, no, I'm out.
Nothing gets me defensive like Chronicles of Riddick.
You're fucking all acting the maggot. I'm out of here.
Actually, you know what it is? It's just Doctor Who fans are arrogant enough to just always have it in their head going, they love it, really.
Yeah.
Well, why would they keep coming back?
They know not what they do.
So, in the last episode that I organised to record... you guys...
that's going back a while.
I know. Yeah. Well, it's now going back a year. What's very funny is that we're coming up for the... At the moment, we're weeks away from the 60th anniversary. And when I was recording it last year, we were coming up for the anniversary. So I had it in my head. I was like, I'm going to start doing this properly, regularly. And I thought, I'm going to get the guys. I'm going to do one story from each Doctor leading up to the five Doctors. And then but then we'll do the Five Doctors on the 60th anniversary. It'll be great. I had it all planned out, and I didn't record an episode for a year. So now we're only making it as far as Doctor number two. So I rallied you guys once again.
So there's only five Doctors?
No, there's a whole bunch. It's just the five Doctors was... There was only five in 1983 when they did the 20th anniversary.
Well, we'll do a couple of episodes tonight.
Yeah, there's only five, anywhere. I mean.
A few That's more, just rattle through them.
As long as we're done by 10.
So, yeah, I rallied you guys together and asked if you wanted to do another one. And for some reason, you're like, yeah, we'll do that.
Overwhelming.
I wonder at what point you are going to just go, Richie, no, I think I might be... I might bow out of this one.
No, I mean, because not. We've seen the worst of it, haven't we? Almost, you know.
Yeah.
So
we've been to the bottom of the trench with Time Lash. So.
Oh yeah.
Things according to things tend to only get better. So
that's the song, isn't it?
Yeah. I think.
You know, I was trying to think there of like. The worst ones I've seen, at least, and I realized that they were all self-inflicted. Like, Richie, you have only brought ones that that I've generally liked, but Greatest Show in the Galaxy, Time Lash, and the King's Demons. Like, you didn't make me watch any of those.
I know, it's almost like the people who don't like Doctor Who are bad at picking episodes to watch.
Well, would you pick King's
Demons based on it being the shortest story you could find?
Didn't feel like it.
It was a, you know, you were cheating basically. Hell mend you. So I decided I'm going to keep going with that trend that I was hoping for, and I decided to choose a second Doctor story. Now, one of the problems with doing second Doctor stories is that most of them are incomplete, and I didn't want to subject any of you to animated reconstructions.
I think that's okay. I probably would have enjoyed that, to be honest.
Well, I just didn't want to push my luck, you know.
I wouldn't want to watch that.
But also, some of the... And then there's a few of them that are like 9 or 10 episodes, so I wouldn't put you through that either. Even though they're really good.
But I'll never know.
You can
just say that, can't you? One of them's the best thing I've ever seen about the film. 12 episodes long, Second Doctor. Best thing ever made.
You wouldn't believe it.
Who knows?
It isn't black and white. Oh, no. I mean, I messaged you, Richie, to say that I was very tempted to start watching War Games because mm-hmm. I want... Is it War Games?
War Games. To,
and I didn't. I ended up watching the start of Spearhead from Space.
Oh, yeah.
Which I still to finish. But if I like that, I might go back. Who knows?
How far into Spearhead from Space are you?
Like 2 episodes?
Okay. Spearhead was my I think it was the first story I watched from beginning to end because it was repeated on BBC Two in the 90s.
Spearhead was the story I watched.
Remember going to school the next day and being like, did you guys watch Doctor Who last night? And everyone was like, no, man.
No.
I was watching Have I Got News For You?
Exactly. I was watching The Paul Merton Show.
The War Games is good. We're not here to talk about the War Games, but it is good. It's the first time we see the Time Lords as well.
Oh, well, shut me up then.
So I went for The Mind Robber, which is, again, generally considered to be one of the better ones. One of the best ones.
So, I really thought you were going to say something just nice about it. just holding back that little bit. One of the, you know, like people don't talk about it too badly.
I got halfway through that sentence and I was like, for some reason, something in my head went, "Don't say best," because you can't keep saying.
Someone
that
will say something. It's that thing where you have to do it. Like, I find that a lot in like YouTube videos in general. Like, it could be argued that this is one of the better episodes from the latter half of that series. So if someone says something, you have to be like, no, I'm not saying it's... I'm not, I didn't like it. I mean, I didn't like it. It
just could be argued.
Yeah, it just could. Maybe. In the right light.
It's like the box quote for Star Trek First Contact. One of the 10 best sci-fi films of the year.
That's good.
Have I already talked about the review that's on the back of... No, I have.
Of what?
I've been disconnected.
Hello?
No, he's back. Hello.
Okay.
Ganondorf. When you come back in, it should automatically...
Ganondorf.
Ganondorf.
Ice climbers.
Right, so the back of the box of...
Oh, sorry. It was Happy Gilmore has a very funny review. On the box, a 3-star review that says, the funniest golf comedy since Caddyshack.
Fair play.
Yeah.
Right. For big ouch on Caddyshack 2.
No, it's better than Caddyshack 2.
There should be a legal obligation to put 3-star reviews on your DVD box. At least one. Or at least one of every star.
Yeah, and then at the bottom. So, like, make them up. Make them up.
Which one are
That's
you?
That's true. Like, if I go and, like, if I'm looking at stars on an Amazon review or something, I always click on the 1-star because they're usually quite funny. And, you know, the other people's misery. And,
Do not use on bollocks.
Yeah, do not use on bollocks.
Sorry, I thought there was more story there. Sorry. So I left a pause.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I'm not much of a storyteller, sorry.
Oh, I thought it was going to be something.
Oh, is that it? Oh, is that it? Okay.
Okay, listen, on you go.
This is exactly the sort of shit Gav gives the rest of us all the time. So did he start?
No. I think if you go back, I've tried to be as good a host as Owen is on his podcast, the Infinite Review podcast. I try and give people my time, let them run on with the story.
But and you see what a mistake
that
can be.
So, yeah, I'll extend the pause.
You need to be like, was that it? All right, can we?
Yep. That's right, what, in the future, I'll be like that.
Everyone clap so I know where to cut. Okay, now.
Need to be whip smart, razor sharp.
I'll put a big foghorn noise. Keep dropping it in.
So, Richie,
what episode did we watch?
Richie, can you give us some background information on the episode that we watched? And a little run-in for the listeners at home.
That sound. That vibration. It's alien.
I can feel it too. In my head.
Concentrate. Both of you, concentrate on something.
I can't.
Patrick Troughton as Doctor Who. Friday at 6:50 on BBC Two.
So, I gave you guys the mind robber. I need to get...
Oh, watch the wrong one.
the Mind Robber is the second serial in Series 6 of Doctor Who. Its original air dates were 14th of September to the 12th of October 1968, and it comprised of 5 episodes.
We know.
Yeah. So what you wanted me to find out?
And is that the end of the story?
That's the end of that story, yeah.
Fuck me.
So, what makes you think that people listening at home can't find that out themselves?
So, I'm guessing, is this everyone's first introduction to Doctor Number 2 then?
Yeah, and I'm glad to... I was going to ask, because I was trying to gauge, because I don't know any of them. I was like, maybe 3? I thought maybe 2. Yeah, I don't know what any of this is. And I think the one I watched before was the First Doctor, wasn't it?
That was the First Doctor. Yeah. So we watched the First Doctor story.
Yeah. Was the Second Doctor. Yeah. I watched it because I watched mine a bit later than yous did, and yous all said that it was a black and white one. So I found a fixed version. So mine was in color, and I couldn't tell where it was in the timeline because of that.
Shit, I didn't know there was a fix.
Because it was really good.
Wait a minute. You found a color version?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, I found a fixed version.
I could have been. I could have been watching a fixed version.
It's actually it's on Internet Archive, which kind of replaces the kind of wrong version.
Oh, the wrong version.
So we were watching the wrong version this whole time on iPlayer.
Hold on.
So look, if you need any added context for how things are meant to look, at any
point. Hold on. Was it entirely? I mean, I know it's been colorized, but was it the entire thing in color?
Yeah, the lot.
The whole story.
In decent quality, too, for free on internet.com.
Apps.
If you want to see the mind dropper.
I'd say something. They've got fucking everything at internet.com.
Tell you what, they've got some sense of humour on them as well.
I'll tell you who uploaded
it
as well.
It was uploaded by James Knox 817 on the 29th of March 2020 at 9 a.m.
Jesus, fair play,
James Knox.
Wait, so he's the one. I think that the thing that really boils my piss about that, Richie, is that there's been a fixed version of this for what, since 2020.
No, look. It's not fixed. Someone's coloured it in.
Yeah.
Someone's corrected the BBC's mistake.
Oh, is that finished?
Yeah, they finished it up.
Yeah, they finished it. Yeah, so that's a better way of doing it.
They took what the BBC did and just brought it over that last hurdle.
Yeah, right.
Because we've often talked about it back then. You know, production was very sloppy. It was just, you know, fuck it, it's for kids. Who cares? Get it out.
Should we turn the colour on? Good. No, come on.
I assumed they put it out in black and white so the kids could colour it in.
I'm really curious now. I'm going to have, this is, you've really, Sean, you've really thrown me with that. That's weird.
If you want to throw me into the what colour was that corner. I'll tell you what colours.
All right, okay. As we go on,
Richie just found out there's a fixed version of the Mind Robber, and he can't wait to get his hands on he's already binning his Blu-ray release.
Is this what you meant whenever you talk about how there's loads of missing Doctor Who? Is it's just all the ink?
It's all on internet.com, apparently.
Yeah. It's all on internet.com. That's right. I don't know what the fucking problem is. It's there.
There's two places you can find old Doctor Who missing episodes. One is a Nigerian television station. Two is internet.com. That'll be good to be like, what colour was... we could find out what tartan Jamie was wearing.
Well, I can't wait to tell you what colour... this episode starts and they're submerged in lava or something?
Yeah.
Right. So basically, that's from the
previous. It's a cliffhanger from the end of the previous story, basically,
right.
And it follows right in.
Because for me, what I was seeing was really lovely buttery scrambled egg, because it's just a
I
lovely
really
warm
the
yellow.
The coloring in, because I know that the coloring in process is so like it's just blocks of color, but if they took the time to do tartan. Like every frame going in, getting the nice lines. But there's been that opening. I was thinking 1968 is going to be a slower pace to this. Mm-hmm. Fucking second one, there's lava volcano coming towards. It's actually moving at such a fast pace that Demi has to say, Doctor, look this. And he goes, what? Oh my!
I made a mistake by going on internet.com because I thought I was actually watching like an episode 3 or 4 because of how much it kicks off. I thought it was the wrong one.
That's just so, who for you, baby.
I know. Fair play.
It must be episode 1 at the start, though, right?
It did, but you know, like people are always uploading episode 1 and then it's like,
ah, sure, Sean, you fucking idiot. It would have said episode 1 at the start.
Sorry, I realize how interesting this will be for the listeners at home as well. Are you sure? I'll have said.
Are you positive?
No, but Richie, what's good about you jumping in and saying that, no matter how badly you came across saying that, was that there will no doubt be at least 90% of the listeners will have been thinking the exact same. And now, hopefully, having heard you say that, they realise, God, is that really how I go on?
Yeah.
And maybe, just maybe, at a dinner party 6 months from now, they'll wind their necks in.
A dinner party where someone's like, so I put on the Mind Robber the other day and I thought I was on episode 3. And he
keeps it quiet, will have said at the start of the episode. Someone at a dinner party, like, I tell you what, I used to really love when the Daleks came on. I'd hide behind the sofa, and Stavros, he absolutely terrified me. And they're just sitting there going, just let it go. Just let it go.
Starlicks. Starlicks is the one that gets me every time.
Darlicks.
The Darlicks. So anyway, this is all of your first experiences with the Second Doctor. Sean's particularly interesting because he just has no idea about Doctor Who in general.
Well, he doesn't even know what he's looking at. He doesn't know. You know? It says episode 1 at the top. He's still going, where am I?
He's just seeing shapes and colours.
I'm seeing shapes and colours.
Sean, you're like a fucking idiot. What did you think of the Second Doctor?
I didn't have many notes about the Doctor specifically in his look in the same way that I did with Colin Baker, because Colin Baker to me is offensive looking. But like, the only thing I wrote about physical appearance of Troughton is I like his Liza Minnelli haircut.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what I think he would smell like. Because like, obviously, like Tom Baker, you're talking like little, you know, small roly cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Eureka Golden Virginia. Colin Baker would smell like Battenberg, and I'm not sure about Troughton yet.
Pertz like has got to be Old Spice.
Yeah, Pertz. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Oof. Or High Karate.
That big foldaway caravan he's got just reeking at Old Spice.
Speaking of how they might smell, I'm constantly getting a breakfasty vibe from all of them. Just because of that first episode we watched, having that big fry-up scene with a bit of oil in the pan. Oh. And this one instantly having a giant pile of scrambled eggs shoved in my face. I've sent you a photo of what it looked like for me. I just need you to see.
Is it in the group?
Oh, wow, in the face.
Oh, it does look like scrambled eggs, you're right.
It looks lovely.
It does.
But he smells of that.
Nice, fluffy scrambled eggs, yeah. is that like all the McDonald's scrambled egg at once, you know, when you got the full tray? Or maybe like an IKEA?
Because if you look closely, there's a little bit of the TARDIS sticking up out of the top there as well. Yeah.
So, I don't know if this is a thing to talk about on the Doctor Who podcast, or indeed I Hate Doctor Who podcast, but can you not get the omelette at McDonald's anymore?
No.
Could you get an omelette at McDonald's?
Yeah, you could get a little breakfast, and it had a little omelette, a little bit of one of the sausage patties. I think it's been replaced with a sort of a pancake or something, but can't get it for love nor money, Richie. Anyway, let's go on. Doctor Who, come on.
Maybe they made the egg powder illegal or something.
So I'm assuming this is all getting cut out anyway,
So what was really good for me just there is that I just have on mute the episodes playing again in the background here just for visual reminders. And when you were
just
saying,
watching it as we go.
Yeah, yeah. And as you were talking about that, the bit where Scottish guy is looking at the TV and it's just like images of Scotland faded over his face as he smiles. When you were just talking about the omelets at McDonald's.
Instantly transfixed, heart swelling with love for Scotland.
That's literally the first note that I took about the episode was Jamie's face when he sees Scotland on the screen. He genuinely licks his lips at the sight of Scotland.
That is kind of, if that's how Scottish people are when they're away from Scotland.
Yeah, well, Caledonia, right. You know.
That's what happens.
So we should say for context that the Second Doctor's companions
at this point comprise of Zoe, spelled wrong, and a Scotsman named Jamie.
Jamie McCrillan.
Can you tell me Jamie a little bit McCrillan. About how Jamie and Zoe came to be with the Doctor and a little bit about each of them?
So Jamie's first episode is Lost. So I've actually never seen it or listened to it, but he's a like an old historical kind of Highlander type person, and Zoe is from the future. She's a sort of mathematician, scientist,
space person. Lady.
So Jamie's kind of been in it. Jamie's kind of in almost the entire Second Doctor run, and Zoe comes in a bit later, and then at the end of the War Games, the Time Lords put them back where they came from and wipe their memories. It's very sad.
Oh, I tell you, this will be lost on our Celtic brothers across the water. But I watched this on iPlayer as part of the new, you know, thing. What's it called again? Like the Doctor's. Something or other. What's
the Tales of the Tard. Did you watch
Tales of the TARDIS?
Okay.
So at the start of it, you have Jamie and Zoe coming back together, and they're old now.
Yeah,
and they catch up a wee bit on what they did with their lives, and they have how the you know what did you do? Did you get married? Yeah, I had kids and all that, and then a little bit about the Doctor and how they lost their memories, and then they got them back. And do you know? Even though I didn't know a thing about the characters, it was done with such an amazing amount of clear care and schmaltz that I was genuinely a wee bit touched by it.
I was away. Immediately.
I said at the time, I was like, if I gave a shit about this, I would be in tears at this. I could feel myself a wee bit going because it's just the way they handled it was just really nice.
I know, it was nice.
I have two things to say.
Oh, okay.
Firstly, it's about Tales of the TARDIS.
Okay. Well, here it is. Oh, what were we calling this corner? I can't remember, it was in the chat.
Canine's broken. I don't know.
Tales from the Tardish.
No, you're going to come up with a
Untardish, Connor.
You're going to come up with a great sting, and you can just drop it in before I say my thing. You can even call it Owen's wrong.
Okay, Owen's wrong, but
Tales of the Tardis. Every episode of Tales of the Tardis should begin with the Doctor introducing the segment with their guest by saying, "Welcome. This is a special room in the TARDIS that has seats." Before they both elderly sit down. Like, this is the only room in the TARDIS that you've ever seen seats. We had to break canon because there was no fucking way we were going to stand here for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
We, like, contractually, Colin Baker would not return without a seat. And it better be soft.
Tried to give him one of those umbrellas that turns into a seat. Wasn't having it.
The other thing I want to say is about the actor who portrayed the Scottish Jamie. His name is Fraser Hines. His personal life section on Wikipedia.
Oh dear. Okay,
now,
here we go.
We're all used to personal life sections on Wikipedia beginning with born here, school here. It simply opens with Hines has dated Jill Hayworth, Pamela Franklin, Susan George, Lisa Goddard, and Deborah Watling. He also had a 3-year relationship with Michael Caine's daughter. Hines has been twice married, first to Irish actress Gemma Craven, and second to water skiing champion Liz Hobbs. Now, have you ever read a personal life section that was more clearly written by the person? Like, no, I'm just straight in. Here's everyone I dated. Yeah. Like, it'd be one thing to go straight to the marriages, but like, tell me, over my time, you know, a couple of famous babes.
Yeah, it's not get straight to the point, you know.
I really, really like this next section.
It's about his autobiography, published in 1996. It was called Films, Farms and Fillies.
I was going to say, so he does have a Shaggers reputation.
He's got a Shaggers reputation. And 13 years later, in December 2009, it was re-released under a different title.
Don't say what that is, no.
Well, the new edition, basically, I just thought it was funny that it was released again, but like someone had a word. And
said, you're like, yeah.
You can't call it Films, yeah. Farms and Fillies because you'll be killed.
Yeah, you just can't.
And maybe just because they really liked their alternative title, Hindsight.
Oh,
that's good. Oh, that is good. Fairness.
That's good. That's
we
good.
Should read that.
And. And that's
the funny thing about changing the title is, I'm sure if anybody read it, they would find some piece of information to be like, no, man.
I think Epilogue of Hindsight is about having to change the title and his objections to it.
I think it's mad that you could be like, Hindsight, right? And I'm like, okay, that's quite clever. Good on him for that. But then you can see another clever biography name, like Simon Pegg had one called Nerd Do Well,
mm-hmm.
and you go, oh, fuck off, Simon Pegg. Do you know what I mean? Shut up.
You couldn't think of a Pegg related pun? Get out of here.
Exactly. Let me have a look at your Wikipedia.
So those were the two things I had to say. I can go now.
Okay.
I never thought to look up their Wikipedia pages. That's a, you've gone the extra mile today. You have my best wishes today.
Oh. But please nobody do that now because you might ruin a game later.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Shit.
The only Wikipedia page I found myself on was the Wikipedia for the guy who played Jamie in episode 2, who ended up working on BBC Radio Scotland and died of COVID just 3 years ago.
Shit. I thought you were going to say, I thought this was going to be a mad twist where he's hit and died of COVID then, somehow.
That's why he had to get, he got replaced on the show because he was, he died of COVID.
Should have got the timey-wimey jab.
So I'm going to dive into the episode and we'll just talk about how episode 1's a bit mad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit mad, very psychedelic. All the good shit from sort of 60s telly. I always find that sort of stuff, it's like, it just can't be recreated. And I don't know if it just can't be you know when the people do psychedelia like now and they try and recreate that 60s psychedelia thing. I always feel like it's
Richie,
always...
Richie, I have the exact same note. Scariness of the ending.
Mm.
Now, I don't doubt for a second that the ending of this episode has ended up in a montage of old Doctor Who stupid endings, you know, just like implying, like, what were they doing? But there's a creep, there's a vibe to it there that you will never get that again. You couldn't recreate that because there's something about just like how simple it is, how empty, the way the sound is, the look. It's just there's something really weird and otherworldly that you just can't quite get now. Just added by the fact that it is old.
Yeah.
Like, and things like Zoe's screaming is
the
just
scream
like,
is intense.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was thinking, yeah.
As a cliffhanger, it is terrifying.
Mm.
Like,
it's got the same.
Like,
it's got the same effect as the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory bit, where they're in the tunnel, the horrible hell tunnel.
Oh yeah, yeah.
just kind of because of how out of nowhere it is as well compared to the rest of the episode.
Yeah, it all kind of feels like it's the kind of thing that you'd imagine someone who's doing like a found footage thing today would kill for that same tone. Yeah. You know, or something like what, like if you're trying to animate a fucking creepypasta or something like that, you'd want to have that same exact level of atmosphere, but they just managed to do it almost fucking live back then.
I think as well, there's like a vibe that's like, you know, they're trying to escape the lava and they have to hit a button that takes them outside of space or whatever it was, into a new place. So there's something kind of weird and creepy about that because it's very like, we don't know what's going on. We don't know where we are. The whole floating on the TARDIS console. Column. Fuck, what's it called? The TARDIS control console. Rotating and all that sort of stuff. All the studios, the middle of it. I love all that stuff. It's great. And that's the sort of stuff that sort of sticks with you when you're thinking about that one anyway.
But I haven't seen that in colour.
But if you saw that in 1968... and then that's all you've got until the next episode, you really would be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Or maybe you miss all the rest of it and you're just like, what?
Do you have the Radio Times actually? Like, do you have the Radio Times? Does it have next week's listing in it? Can I check it for a second? Is Doctor Who on next week? It's on next week. Okay.
Maybe they're burying them. Imagine if that was like an E3 trailer for like the next Doctor Who. TARDIS exploding and then you get the title.
Next episode is just his funeral. Yeah. The actor comes on at the end. Troughton comes on at the end. Thanks everybody. Thanks for watching Doctor Who. That's the end of that.
And Merry Christmas to you at home.
Yeah, the first five minutes is the funeral and then they have to fill it the next 17 minutes or something, so they just have them hanging out.
Yeah, but like, you can see me at the Doncaster Palladium this Christmas. I'll be playing Buttons in Cinderella.
So, episode 2, they end up in the Forest of Words or something it's called. So
there's the one note I had there though was, because we're on episode 2 now, the credits, he's credited as Doctor Who, which is Strike 2. Yeah. Last episode we had signed by Doctor Who in the letter, and this one we've got him in the credits.
Yeah. Evidence is stacking up.
That's it. So it's now been in the Time Meddler and the Mind Robber. There's two instances of Doctor Who in plain sight, and yet
Do you know, every episode I've watched, it's been in the titles as well, like the first thing. I don't know why people keep fighting it, you know.
Yeah. I think at this point, why don't they just let him be called Doctor Who? Who's that? It's fucking Doctor Who.
Hello, I'm Doctor Who.
What's your name? That's fucking Doctor Who.
Read the reg plate. You tell me.
I've been reading one of the books and I'm at the start of another one and there is a point where he introduces himself.
Wowee.
when you said that, I thought you were saying, I've been reading one of them books.
One of them books.
And I'm actually about to start another one.
Just finished a book. Starting another one.
And it is when he introduces himself early on in the book. And he's like, I'm the doctor. They do this, there's this nice thing when you're, obviously when it's in text, they can do this, where they like, where you're obviously in your head, you're reading it going, is this person the doctor? Every time they introduce someone, they start talking like, oh, is this the doctor? And then eventually this guy's the doctor.
That's how desperate you are for the doctor to show up in the story.
But then, when are they going to get to the doctor?
it did strike me when he introduced himself and he's like, no, I'm just called the doctor. And nobody's ever like, no,
that's not good enough.
That's not a name, mate. That's not a name, mate. Like, I was like,
military facility. You're going to answer some questions.
Like, everyone in that universe is just waiting to meet someone called the doctor or expecting to. It's just not strange.
What's your name, Mister?
Yeah,
the Mister.
But it gives them an opportunity to play with it, though. Imagine they go like, "What's your name?" And they go, "Oh, it's Doctor." And they go, "Doctor what?" And then they look at the camera.
That's happened, Gav. That's happened.
Really?
Not the camera.
Everybody has a drink.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey.
Down your shot of Pims you got with your Radio Times now.
I like it's in one of those like the little milk cartons just peeling open. Doctor Who.
Trying to remove it without tearing the front page.
Refresher bar on a Pims.
On the subject of Pims, a few months ago I had my first Pims in like 20 years. My God, it's really nice. When was the last time you had a Pims?
I've never had.
You've never had a Pims? I've never had a Pims.
I don't know what goes on in a Pims.
A Pims and lemonade. Oof.
Well, Richie, it's a British classic, so.
So is it just a liqueur? Or
Is it a bit like Unicum?
A bit like what?
A bit like Unicum. Actually, I'm looking it up, and it does look a bit like Unicum.
What is?
I think it's adjacent to Unicum. Yeah.
Right.
Unicum.
What's Unicum? I was trying to, is this a setup?
But are you going to get another?
What's Unicum?
What the hell is Poppin' Gamer?
Unicum's whack.
What?
Unicum's whack.
Why is this so funny?
I don't know what's going on.
Maybe if you were, if this question was flipped around, you'd be asking, "Is Unicum's whack a bit like Pims?" But I'm asking
I'll tell you what
is,
started doing. It's like Unicum's it's in whack smaller. A bit like Pims. It's in smaller batches, but you can get aged Unicum.
Yeah,
and. Goes down easy.
Do you mix
make
it with
mine
anything?
A Unicum?
Do you mix it with anything? What sort of cocktail would you make with Unicum?
I'd say you could mix Unicum with something, but I've never tried it. No,
I can't tell if you're taking the.
It would probably be the kind of thing where you drink a bit of it and then you drink a bit of something else and you kind of swash it around.
I might actually have some here.
I think legally most rooms in Ireland has to have some Unicum.
Have some Unicum. It's whack.
I'll just...
Some Unicum's whack.
Yeah.
Oh, this is... No, that's old. That's not good anymore.
Anyway, episode two.
Episode two.
Sorry,
yeah.
I'm going to try and stop laughing at this because this whole bit needs to just be cut from the show.
I mean, we can save the Unicum bit for another episode.
Richie's already thinking, how do I save the Pims bit? But
just cuts out. I had some Pims, really nice. And then just cuts to a stink.
Doctor.
So they're in the woods.
No, they're lost in the woods. The thing I quite like about the Mind Robber is I feel like it maintains its momentum quite nicely.
Obviously, to get in Tales from the Tardish, it's like 90-odd minutes.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, that's fine, just do it in one. And I was completely, just absorbed. I was quite happy with it.
Every episode had something distinct. I mean, the whole first episode being in this mad... Mindfuck dimension thing, and then straight into spooky woods. I really sat up.
I was shocked that Jamie climbs a tree,
mm-hmm.
and there's not even the tiniest hint of a joke about being able to see up his kilt.
Yeah.
And I was stunned by that. I thought that has to be a censorship decision because. Because no one in 1968 was going to be able to resist going,
I can see
he's climbing up. You're going to see off the kilt.
I can see his mealy pudding. I was ready for it to be, really quite, not. I wouldn't say offensive because it's not like the Scottish stereotype isn't an offensive thing necessarily, but... Mm. The representation of it, I was ready for it to be really bad, and I was it's actually fine. He's just a guy who happens to be Scottish. He doesn't really. I was expecting, I'd bet my kilt on this being the Daleks, or something like that, But
he did say McClarty.
He did say McLarty.
They do get it out of the way with him licking his lips at a telly with Scotland on it.
That's true. But any Scotsman would be the same in that situation. You
know? As we've previously...
If you're not in Scotland and you see Scotland on the telly, what?
You're like...
So you try to actually get into the telly.
You think, oh god, that's where all the Highland toffee is. Oh.
Exactly. Look at those Bonnie Banks and Bonnie Braes.
You start phoning your relatives and saying things like, "That's Scotland on. Turn over to BBC Two, quick. Scotland's on the telly."
I did know. I'd love to play hide and seek chasing in the set for that forest.
Yep. Yeah,
just like I thought it was a fun place to be.
They'd done a really good job, I think, of making, again, the tone of it was very, for the time, I was impressed by how creepy they managed to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it gave me that sense, like, I really like that in like horror fiction, like you're in a space where it's almost like the space is alive.
Yeah.
You know, like an Event Horizon or a House of Leaves or something like that, where you're like, there's a omnipresent sort of malevolent force guiding you.
Yeah, like there's nothing to latch on to, but it's unpredictable and...
Yeah, there's an intelligence there that's like clearly working against you, but you can't really do anything about it.
Yeah,
it's not so oppressive that they can't have fun, because when they find Zoe in a jar, they don't
instantly
laughing like fuck. You're in a jar. You're fucking stupid.
Jar bastard.
You're stupid and you're in a jar.
Pushing the jar over. Here, let me help you.
There was that slight moment where you remember when it was made, when I think Jamie's like, "We'll let you out, but you have to be promised to be a good girl."
Yeah.
And you're like, oh dear.
The other thing as well, Sean won't have got this, but the...
He's not very bright.
No. So. I was leading it to talk about black
didn't
and white.
Didn't even see episode one at the start of episode one. I mean,
black and white Doctor Who.
Lava was eggs.
I was finding.
Sorry,
I was going to say the kind of black and white Doctor Who specifically as well. I think always has a nice edge to it, and I don't know if it's just me being an old bastard, but there's something about it that has more of a soft, dreamy kind of,
yeah,
almost kind of filmy feel to it. And it also just helps that like it's harder to see some of the sets and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I suppose. But
the sets in color, so the tree trunks, whatever they are sort of purple. But like they're brown, like you would glance at them and say they're brown, but then you look at them long enough and go, I guess they're kind of purple. But with little gold bits, and it worked really well. It just seemed like a cool, like, other dimension.
This is like Sean was there. And he's
I know how it smells.
I'm a little bit annoyed that I watched it on the platform and I got the rubbish version.
You got the broken one, yeah.
That shouldn't be the case. The BBC one should be the best one.
One other thing I want to note is how good the sound effect for the Clockwork Soldier's feet are.
Yes.
Genuinely creepy, but also, and here's my frame of reference for everything. It reminded me of Majora's Mask. It's really N64 whatever way in that game and Ocarina of Time, they would just make things a bit airier by just using the same sound effect and multiplying it like 5 or 6 times staggered to put that echo on it, but not even changing the pitch. It's just the same sound effect over and over again.
I think Miyamoto said that he was in his garden watching the Mind Robber when
he thought of the sound effects for Majora's Mask.
He had it on a tiny Sony TV outside.
Yeah.
With a big long aerial. My dog will not shut up, man. I'm going to shave him bald.
Something else I realised, because we went through this with the Time Meddler, is that once again you'd be like, ah, the Master. I know who yeah. he is. I know yeah. who he is.
Well, we did it. We did that twice in the episode because when the robots first showed up, mm-hmm. Lindsay was like, "Oh, Cybermen!" Like when oh. you see the feet, and we're like, "Oh, that's not Cybermen." And then when they said, "Oh, the Master," we both looked at each other like, "Oh, the Master? No way!" No, both times no. fucked over again. Lied to once again.
Did they just yeah. mean the Master of where they were specifically?
Yes.
Oh right.
So,
okay.
So that big sort of robot, that computer ball thing at the end was yeah. like a master brain or something.
So when does the Master come into it? Just because I thought that I didn't even cop that it wasn't the Master. I only know that there's someone called the Master.
Oh right, I see. The Master, the Master's first story is a John Pertwee one called Terror of the Autons.
Who the heck are you? Well, I am usually referred to as the Master.
Oh, is that so?
Universally. Mm.
Is it time for Owen to do his the other thing he wanted to say?
Yes.
Or do you want to jump straight ahead? Yeah, I just wanted to say something about Torchwood.
Finally.
Okay.
I think it's shite that Torchwood exists. I think that's really shite. Because you think about the Doctor Who audience, and I know we joke here on I Hate Doctor Who about, like, you know, oh, it's for kids and all that. But there are a lot of kids who love Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. Think of Richie, you were talking about a child you met recently who loved Doctor Who, and that's what got me thinking about it. I was like, there are so many children who love Doctor Who, know everything about it, and will, before they should, find out that Torchwood exists because they can't go online and look up the TARDIS wiki without also finding the TARDIS wiki entry for cocksucking. And you think, like, why is that an entry on in, like, why is that a part of the Hooniverse? And it's because of Torchwood. And it was one thing for Torchwood to come out when it did, and for, you know, grown-ups to watch it. But the fact that when you think of it as something that exists forever, mm-hmm. in the same way that we're talking about the Mind Robber from 1968 now, I just feel so bad for everyone forever having to acknowledge this thing. And it is like canon and part of Doctor Who, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they turn
and
up.
And that was
show.
Shite of them to do that. I genuinely think that when someone came along and said, let's do a canon Doctor Who spin-off, but it's, like, you know, really adult, they should have said, no. No, that's a...
Just that's said, no.
That's a crap idea.
It was a crap idea.
No. I think and, that but, there's a lot
but
to
it's
be said
there
for...
forever.
Oh, this what is about, where you get the Owen's Wrong sting.
What about young adult spin-off Class?
Remember what's your take on Class, Richie?
It's not very good. It's not very good. It's nice.
Actually,
the first episode's quite good because Peter Capaldi turns up, but he doesn't turn up for the rest of it. So it's
I've got a friend actually called Rich, not Richie, but Rich, who's a massive fan of Class. So this, oh, really? There's something for everyone out there in the Hooniverse. Did you say? Yeah. Did you say that the TARDIS wiki has an entry on cocksucking?
No, it's cocksucker.
All right, okay.
but it does.
Still, though.
It's funny, if you
bring,
go on the
bring that up immediately.
TARDIS wiki page for cocksucker, it's somebody calls Jack a cocksucker, and it's like, and then I think it's in the page it says, but what they didn't know is that Jack is omnisexual. I don't understand what that means. I mean, presumably
right,
that
it's
means...
It's a one-sentence Wikipedia page. I'm looking at it right now.
Like, look at that page and tell me that the entire endeavour of Torchwood wasn't a huge mistake.
Yeah. Captain Jack Harkness is a bisexual atheist.
So, anyway, episode three.
The funny thing about Torchwood now is we've been rewatching it, and the first series where they're making all of the mistakes is when they're all working together, but they're all a bit kind of sexy and horny together. But all it comes across as now is, like, there's a lot of HR problems unfolding in front of us. Captain Jack, it struck me that Captain Jack was essentially, like, a coked-up call center manager on a Christmas night out. It was kind of his vibe.
At all times.
Yes, true. At all times. The kind of the brown leather shoes and the the bootcut jeans, yeah.
Oh, he didn't, did he?
My God. He just
came and went.
I think all we need to say about episode 3 is stop motion Medusa.
Yes.
Was that that? Oh, yeah, it was. That early on.
Stop
wait,
motion Medusa, yeah.
We skipped over one thing I wanted to talk. Because, what's the Scottish guy called again?
Jamie
having a different face for a whole bit.
Oh, yeah, so Jamie, so the actor, the actor that played Jamie had chicken pox. So they just brought someone else to play him for a week.
I had I've got a note on this exact thing because I looked up the thing on the TARDIS wiki and it said Hamish Wilson is the name of the guy they've got in to be the replacement, was familiar with the show and had watched previous episodes with Jamie, which came in very useful when he was called in to play the part at ridiculously short notice. Now, once again, I think that's editorialising on the TARDIS wiki's behalf. It is not their place to say whether it was ridiculously short notice. It's simply short notice. Wind your neck in, TARDIS wiki, once again.
Well, maybe Hamish wrote the article.
Doesn't matter.
In which case...
Still very upset about it.
I really loved when Doctor Who was putting his face back together with the bits of face.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh yeah, that's his nose. But just something about the way he reacts when he puts his mouth on and instantly goes, oh no, that's the wrong, I got that wrong.
I don't know how I feel about the second Doctor's childish.
He's a. I think I noted something about him being like definitely more panicky and childish than any of the ones I've seen.
I quite liked that though. Like I thought, and this is the thing that I spoke about a while back. I said I'd written something that is probably the most 41-year-old man Doctor Who fan thing you can write. But I wrote, I do like the Doctor not being sure all the time, being a little bit scared, even being angry at his own mistakes. And I bet this sounds like all old bastards, but I prefer this to the all-knowing Doctor who always has got a plan and a sonic screwdriver and he can do anything and he's magic.
It's very...
It's
very like pantomime-y or something. Something about come on, boys and girls. It's like, oh, no, what have I done?
I love, like, he goes into like a big childish huff when it's made clear that he does not remember his companions' faces.
Yeah.
It's like, do you actually not know like what we look like? Stop it.
But it's just the way his acting changes instantly when he's looking at the mouth while he's holding it up to the face, but once like it's touching the rest of the face, it's instant. No
I know, that stuff's great. I think there's something like his kind of thing as well is like, you know, there's something slightly shambolic, you know, and it's kind of, he's quite disarming, but then also when push comes to shove, it's like a, you've made a mistake to underestimate him sort of thing. I think they bring that in a lot, like they keep bringing that back as a thing basically. And I think,
do you know what his vibe is? His vibe is replacement teacher who comes in.
Oh yeah.
A mess, and you think everyone's like, this guy's an alcoholic, and it's like, that's it, we're all going to fail. But end of semester, it's only because of him that everybody passed. It's like last minute, he just he pulled down the thing and he did the most impressive sum you've ever seen, and everyone was like, fuck, that's it, we're going to state, and it's all thanks to this man. And no one got his name.
God, every time you see pictures of him in other roles at that time, you're like, God, what a handsome bastard.
Mm.
Yeah, no, he's got lovely piercing eyes. I think Sean will have appreciated them more in colour than we will have.
Yeah.
Funny you should say this. I was just out of curiosity looking up like what film roles different early doctors had, and you see some quite famous films that first doctor, second doctor, third doctor, and all the way up to Colin Baker, who's the first one who's not in any good films, and like the most well-known film he's in on Letterboxd is The Air Zone Solution.
I was just about to make a joke about I imagine it was The Air Zone Solution.
Everyone else has appeared in at least one like quite well regarded thing. But
wonder he's so bitter, man. No wonder he's such a twisted shell.
So yeah,
Stop motion Medusa.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Wait, was that before or after? And not to spoil, but there's a Minotaur. Was that not before?
Oh, there was a Minotaur before. There was a unicorn. The unicorn was a cliffhanger.
That's right.
And then they had to do the whole, it's not real. And then obviously by the time we get to Medusa, it's like, we can't just keep saying it's not real to get through everything.
We need to start. I did like that element of it, though, with the Doctor being like, later on when you know we get certain characters where he's like, I don't know who this is, I can't tell you for sure, they're not real. And it's like, oh, come on, Doctor.
Well, yeah, because I can't wait to talk about him. But, you know, it was Medusa first. Okay. And and that one was just was it the Minotaur? Where they're like, it's not real. And then Medusa, she's like, no, but I think it is real. Because, yeah. I don't know.
Because she's just saying, she's scared.
She's right there. Yeah. Of course she's real.
With Doctor Who being how it is, every so often when something like that appears in it, you're like, oh, yeah. This is cool.
Yeah, I was immediately in. I was already in because of the tone and that sort of, you know, again, that kind of almost creepypasta vibe they were going for. But then as soon as they started bringing in fucking Medusas, Minotaurs, unicorns, I was like, this is the one for me.
Question for Sean, what colour was Medusa for you?
Medusa was sort of, I think just kind of gold colour. It looked like a statue. Because they went for a thing where like she's a statue even when she... wakes up or something, so, but she had scary eyes.
Oh yeah,
yeah. But yeah, just
as soon as they go stop motion, you're like, shit, man, they're trying. Do you know what I mean?
The Minotaur was a classic brown.
I read in the thing, I don't know how true this is, about they got the horse to play the role of the unicorn, but they wanted a white horse, but they delivered a brown one, so they had to paint it white. That might be true. There's a 50-50 chance that's true.
It is true enough for this podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, given the shit that the film industry used to put horses through.
Yeah.
They harpooned that unicorn horn into its head and just recorded it in its last moments.
That's why it's running towards them.
The horse was later killed execution style. There's no Jamie doesn't recognise the unicorn, the symbol of Scotland.
I was thinking that.
Mm.
Although I'm saying that as someone who only just found that out in the last couple of years.
To create the unicorn effect, they screwed the horn in. There's like a corkscrew at the base. It was screwed in, and then when they were finished filming, they simply unscrewed it, and it came out with the horse's brain.
Trouton had with steak fries that very night.
and fried egg. That's a fact.
A whole fact.
The thing that I liked about the whole storybook world vibe is just the innocence of all the characters being used, like it being Rapunzel and Gulliver and Medusa. And
so I was thinking, what would this episode be like if it was? Is this basically Ready Player One?
Well, yeah. I was thinking this. You know, I'm jumping ahead a bit, but when they're having the sort of battle. Writing is like, and then you know Rapunzel did this, and then the knight fought.
Blackbeard shows up.
and surrounded by Bergerac and D'Artagnan.
Like, only because it was made then is it like this. Because could you imagine now, it's like, and my guy's Rambo now. And my guy's the Predator.
Yeah.
So he's shing shing, you know, and then Wolverine is in now.
Unit 1 comes through the roof.
They were basically playing Fortnite.
Yeah.
It's so good, though, because you can imagine at the time back then, like some wee schoolboy in the fucking shorts and the cap and all that pointing at the screen, "Mom, look, it's Cyrano de Bergerac."
It's the famous five. They're all here.
His signature big nose.
Beatrix Potter comes in and wins.
Well, I see when I didn't even cop that it was. So at first I was like, right, it's specifically Greek mythology things that are showing up.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I think I just wasn't really paying attention when it was Rapunzel. So for some reason that didn't break my theory. But then I was like, who the fuck's Carcass? I love this guy. I should look up Carcass. And then I went, all right, it's a comic book thing. But yeah, I've been wanting to talk about Carcass. He was my favourite thing.
Carcass,
about the whole...
and he's ridiculous. I couldn't tell if he was meant to be wearing a top that looked like muscles or if it was meant to be that he was so muscly.
He had Bono's top on. Got Bono's top out of Captain America's. Just put that on.
I've suddenly realized why all the characters were so sort of like what's the word? They were just nice in that way because they were all in public domain.
Yeah, that's true.
Because obviously, we need someone out of a comic book. We really can't afford any of them, so we're going to have to make this one up. But it's nice. Yeah. It's kind of cool. They're like, well, he's from the year 2000, actually. So,
yeah.
No, do you want to know what color Carcass was?
Oh yeah.
Oh please.
Yeah.
He had white skin, the skin of a white man, and a brown mask, and black trousers.
Well, I saw online you can get there was like a range of Doctor Who miniatures, little tiny toys, and there was a Carcass one. A little painted Carcass one.
What, like Eagle Moss type things?
Yeah, like tiny little fellas. Like you'd put on a model railway by the looks of it.
Carcass, what weird.
Yeah. Is this the only time that Carcass ever shows up?
Yeah.
I would really like to have a beautiful, perfect model town with a train running through it and just sneak Carcass into one of the train stations.
I like but when we're talking about why they wouldn't, like if they did that today, because I was looking at outside of course, like Big Finish and books and stuff like that, this is the only time in any of the Doctor Who TV shows that this land of fiction has ever shown up.
Yeah.
They've never used the concept again. And you'd think it's a bit of a... You'd think now, especially now when they're trying to cram in as much shite as possible into everything, that they would probably return to it so you could have fucking the Doctor and fucking Marcus Fenix running around. You know?
Nice. Do we like that after Zoe beats up Carcass, he immediately goes, "I'm your slave."
I'm your slave.
Yeah.
It's not even just "I'm your slave." It's like he willingly says, "I'm your slave." But then from that point on, it's zombie like, I'll do that.
Yep. Yeah, his entire personality just completely changes because he's been thrown a few times by someone that knows a little bit of judo.
the fight is great because it's like, what's this one thing that we can do? Well, I can do it. You can do this, and I'll do a flip.
Yeah,
and then you just do that like 10 times in a row.
It's like Carcass is like a superhero, and he's like, "Oh, I'm fucked."
I looked up the actor for Carcass as well, and apparently, like doing those takes, just basically smashed his back. He can't walk now, and so one of the reasons he was so zombie-like afterwards was
because he was just fucked.
He cannot move.
He was concussed
anymore. He was absolutely destroyed.
Yeah, they had a big wooden.
So board. I hope he enjoyed it because that cost a man his life.
That cost a man
more or less. That cost a man.
Cost one man.
What did it cost?
One man.
Was the intent with him that, like, was that suit just meant to make him look muscly? Because
I think so.
Because, yeah. Like, the way I read it is that he's, like, a kind of sinewy zombie guy. Mm. Like, the Attack on Titan flesh.
Yeah, it doesn't look healthy. Thing. It doesn't look like a healthy...
Like, I thought... And he's called Carcass. I thought he's meant to be, like, a reanimated dead body plus superhero with a gun.
Yeah.
Hey,
I got
who knows what the Carcass lore is?
That's a good point, actually, yeah.
I think on the TARDIS wiki it mentioned that Carcass was sort of based around the Batman TV show. It was like that's the kind of vibe they wanted from it. But they definitely did not nail it in any way.
So the baddie, the one thing I noticed about this, I don't know if it's the first time, but it's definitely very early days of the classic Doctor Who thing of like spending three episodes of only seeing the villain's hand while he watches them on a telly.
I like that. Yeah. Though, that it was very Dr. Claw. I was very into it. And I liked that he had the map. The map that he was watching them on with the little LEDs that it's like showing where they were. I thought that was very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, their whole base was very cool. Like the first time you see the screens that they're watching and everything, I was like, oh!
Yeah, it's a nice shot.
This shot hasn't been finished, but very impressive.
That'll be nice when it's finished. I did like, even in silhouette, I liked the baddies, what I called in my notes, a space yarmulke that he wore on the back of his head.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was very fun. A little sparkly yarmulke. I was like, oh, good on him. That's the kind of thing I like. And I think they did a good job with the juxtaposition between the creepiness of that cut to the fact that it's just a doddery old man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, good on.
Yeah, there was very... Yeah, he was just a sort of sweet old writer man.
Yes.
And I do like when he took his hat off and he was like, oh, and he just wanted to read his wee comic.
I thought something that was really good was when they start having their... battle of fiction, you know, that there was, because you think when you start doing that, it's like, oh, well, can't they just like write anything and then it happens? But there was the gotcha for the Doctor, which was he can't mention himself in any of the things, and they're trying to figure out. And I was like, that's great, clever and good.
Yeah.
Like, that's really good. And also, I guess I'm too used to what we get now. The fact that you had a story that was about we're in a world of fiction and there wasn't a single bit of fourth wall kind of breaking or acknowledging. Like, no smarty pants stuff. It was just like, what if really you were trapped in this situation and, you know, like the trap of I need to write out of this without involving myself because the second I do, I become fiction. I was like, this is good.
It was a nice catch, as you say.
I think in general, like with this kind of thing, it's very easy to fall into that trap of just throwing shit at you. You know what I mean? Just like throwing mad stuff at you and you go, oh, this is dead creative. And then you get to the end and realise that there was nothing of substance. But I don't think that's the point. I don't think that's the case here. I actually really was ended up being quite impressed with it overall. Not to spill my beans before we finish, but
no, I think we're there. I think we're at the point where we go, the Mind Robber was good.
Mind Robber was good. Doctor, Doctor.
This had a really, really good. I think it's like the first time. I think this is pre the Mind Battle, but he gets away from the Master guy. And call him the Master guy to have it. They do a really good zoom in and like sniveling, like, you may be running away now, but I will have fun chasing you later, Doctor Who. And it goes on for ages. And he does the proper like fingers together thing.
Yeah. It genuinely made me go like, I need to watch more Troughton because there's something about Troughton that just gets me. You know, and
Troughton
is, we've got a Baker contender here.
When you see any Doctor Who actor talking about old Doctor Who, Troughton's always the one. Like, they're always, like, even way back in the 70s, when you see old interviews, they're like, when Patrick Troughton took over, they just, they all have this kind of reverence. For him. And it's, well, it's obviously well-deserved, because he is, like, he's the connoisseur's choice for favourite, definitely.
You can definitely see the beginnings of, like, I liked the first Doctor story we watched, but you can see more of what the Doctor became from his, like, just, like, you know, if you think about Doctor Who as a character who has a bit of celery on their multicolored coat, like, you do not get that from the first Doctor.
But no.
You can see the beginnings of that
coming together.
I think.
Yeah, I mean,
I would love to have watched this on an actual 60s television.
Yes.
Imagine how it would have looked on that.
Wee curved, tiny wee curved screen with a bit of fuzz coming in every so often. Yeah, I mean, I think it is amazing. Like, you know, often when I watch these things, I do try and think of them contextually. But, like, to think of it going from William Hartnell to him, you know, instead, it's just a real stroke of genius in the sense of, like, we're not going to try and do it exactly the same, but we somehow managed to make it that it's the same character, and you get that it's the same character, but it's a different, and then that just sets it up for everything else, which I think is amazing.
I think it's a great testament to the show, and not only that, to the Mind Robber, that it was Trout's favourite cereal in the end, and I can see why.
Oh, was it?
Apparently so, aye.
And also, if the second person to play the Doctor, if they didn't do a great job, that would kind of, everyone would go, oh, well, we're just not doing this then.
Oh, the new guy was rubbish, wasn't he? Ah, well, that's the end of that. Then we won't be bringing that back.
So everybody liked the Mind Robber?
I like the Mind Robber.
I like the Mind Robber. Yeah.
Good job, Richie.
Lovely stuff.
All right, now we can finally put it behind us and have some fun.
Wait,
does anybody want?
No, don't you dare! Don't you dare! Because we haven't sorted out the main crux of this entire show.
Uh huh.
Owen, do you hate Doctor Who?
Yes, I hate Doctor Who.
Sean, do you hate Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Fuck.
And
only in the sense that I wouldn't watch it.
Gavin, do you hate Doctor Who?
Yeah. Yeah.
More than ever.
I was thinking, after you guys pulled me on to do the last episode, and it got such a lovely, warm reaction, and I was like, I really need to do more of these properly, because it's getting to the point where people are forcing me to do them, which is just not something that happens on anyone's podcast, really, which is really nice. So then I was like, that'll be nice. I'm looking forward to a wee journey with the guys. And then I had to stop and be like, they don't like it. What am I putting them through here?
If it was that bad, do you know what I mean? Like, if this was like I hate SG-1,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It'd be a different kettle of fish. But I think there's enough charm looking back through decades, and even if you're not enjoying the story, you can watch how TV was made in a different time before you were born. That's interesting in and of itself. There's a lot to still get out of it, even if you're going, oh, this, I'm not too keen on this story, or this is a 12-part serial. Are you joking?
I think, I know this has come from the words of someone who loves Doctor Who, obviously, but I do genuinely feel like, as a show and as a concept, it's like, it's basically a very malleable format, in the sense that we can do a podcast like this, because I can be like, do you want a scary one? Do you want a silly one? I mean, I know a lot of TV shows go through different types, but Doctor Who, like, I can pull out just about anything, almost, and you know, and show something that someone's going to like. Somewhere along the line, there's going to be something.
And yet you pulled out Inferno.
Before the next one, I'm going to give you three words of everything I want one to be.
Okay.
And you have to get it exactly right.
Scary, funny.
Yeah.
Crazy, bloody, sexy, cool.
Crazy, sexy, cool, scary, funny. Is that what I got?
Sexy.
I gotta find a third Doctor story that covers those bases.
Won't be hard with old Perks, I tell you old that Perks, much. Eh?
Sexy breakfast.
Just be watching that Zanussi advert again.
Having watched The Mind Robber, I think that's me. I've seen at least one of each Doctor now. I think my favourite's, it's still got to be Pertz.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're a Pertz guy, huh?
I'm a Pertz guy. It's the Old Spice.
What's your Pertz guy, huh?
Any other business, or shall I start the game?
I'll just see if I've got any, well, I'll check if I've got any additional notes.
Sure, Gav, let's go for it. It's Gavin's additional notes.
Everyone just sit back.
Everyone shut up.
Doctor, additional notes.
The one thing, and it says here in the notes in the TARDIS wiki, which I thought was interesting, before Jamie, played by Hamish Wilson, gets turned into a cutout for the second time, he shouts a phrase in Gaelic. Fraser Hines joked on the DVD commentary that is Scottish Gaelic for vodka and tonic. And that's not on.
Yeah.
Well, Gavin, you've actually set up a lovely introduction to my game.
Oh, you're welcome.
That. Hello and welcome to my game. Jamie McCrimmon loves Scotland, but do you? That's right. It's a classic game of true or false, but wrapped in scotch tape. Please join me on the center stage for Ochai or a Wee Pie.
Oh, wow.
And there's a prize for tonight's winner.
Oh, wow.
If you get the most points 1 week from now, a projector will light the entire east wing of Balmoral Castle in the tartan of your choice.
Oh, man. Rangers Tartan.
So, if you know the answer, simply buzz in by saying McGavin, McShawn, or McRitchie. And tell me Ochai or a Wee Pie lie.
AKA lie.
And remember, it's more than a quiz. It's more than heat and light. It's hope, and it's courage, and it's love. That's a Doctor Who reference or
something. Oh, McGavin.
It's false. From the it's from the utterly unbearable scene where he carries the Olympic torch. So
I have, nobody's watched that episode in, okay,
since
how did you know that?
Because I always remembered it as being, that is just so shit. Yeah, really
just stuck with me. Just, certain things just stick with you, you know.
But cut all that out, because, you know, it's putting a downer on what is an otherwise very positive game.
Okay. Remember when the Doctor turned into sort of a little Dobby-style guy? Remember that? Remember when David Tennant turned into like a little Dobby-style guy?
Yeah.
Mind that?
Okay, so, can we just get a quick run through? Say your names.
McRitchie.
McShawn.
McGavin.
Okay, beautiful. So, a Wee Pie or Ochai? Fraser Hines, who played the 18th century Highland Scot Jamie McCrimmon in Doctor Who, was born in Scotland.
McGavin? That's a Wee Pie.
That is a Wee Pie. We talked about it earlier. He was English. Okay, next up. There were still people living in Scottish caves less than 100 years ago.
McShawn?
Ochai. Ochai. There were people living in caves up in Wick.
No.
Look up the cave
cave dwellers of Wick must have been fucking freezing.
The Catman of Wick.
Now, Patrick Troughton and Fraser Hines were friends in real life and were known for indulging in innuendo and playing practical jokes, usually on their female co-stars, on set and during rehearsals.
McRitchie.
McShawn.
McRitchie?
Okay.
Okay, that is true.
I heard a really terrible one the other day, which I won't repeat.
It's complacency. It's called complacency. Yeah.
Best not say anything, I'll just leave it. Ben Nevis is the highest peak on the island of Great Britain, whether you like it or not, which is why climbers in 2006 were so surprised to find an abandoned piano near its summit.
McShawn.
McShawn.
Okay.
Okay. It was Kenny Campbell who spent 4 days carrying it up on his back and then played Scotland the Brave. He also, on a separate occasion, carried up a beer barrel and a plough.
Wow. What would you play at the top of Ben Nevis if you had carried a piano all the way up there?
Richie?
Aerith's team. Okay, next one. There are laws of time. Once upon a time, there were people in charge of those laws, but they died. They all died. Do you know what that leaves? Me. It's taking me all these years to realize that the laws of time are mine and they will obey me.
McRitchie.
McRitchie?
Okay.
No, that was a wee pie.
It was a wee pie. It kind of
it was a wee did, pie, wasn't it? No, oh, you see.
Yeah, it didn't work out for him, did it? The viewers at home can't see Sean's posture, which is sort of leaning back like a radio DJ at 3 a.m. holding his mic.
Now, the Scottish Film Council was established in 1934 and became Scottish Screen in 1997. Scottish Screen then merged with the Scottish Arts Council to form Creative Scotland in 2008. In the 89 years they've been operating, they have funded 6 films set in Scotland featuring a Scottish cast.
McShawn.
McShawn?
Wee Pie.
Of course it's not true. They became Creative Scotland in 2007.
What a joke.
Next one.
The organisation, I mean, of course.
That's not what I was getting at. Next one. Iron Brew is nice.
Whoa. McRitchie. That could go either way.
McRitchie?
I can't believe I set myself up for this. Okay.
Yeah, you're right, it is. The Scottish public saw what over 190 other countries managed to do each day and came together to say in one voice at one moment, please don't make me go it alone. I can't do it. I can't do it. I was lying when I said I was brave. I was lying when I said I was bold. I was lying when I said I was gallus. I'm actually a wee worm who lives under a boot and I'm scared to come out.
McGavin.
McGavin?
Okay.
Okay, that's right. And finally, Scotland could make it as an independent country.
I'm going to let Richie handle this one.
Also, I didn't say my name, McRitchie.
McRitchie?
Okay.
Well, we'll never know.
When we begged to stay under the boot heel of our English oppressors,
with Jamie leading the charge,
exactly, shouting vodka and tonic,
licking his lips.
Stood atop a mountain and said no thanks.
Yummy 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 boots.
Jamie,
thank you for playing my game.
Oh, well done, it was a good game.
Well done.
Apparently, when Jamie shouted that Gaelic phrase, it's his last words in the last regular serial that he was in War Games. He charges an English redcoat on the fields of Scotland, so he shouts that phrase again in his final appearance.
Is it like a Scottish kapla?
It means the Boar's Rock, apparently. It's the motto of the McLaren clan of Scotland, meaning the Boar's Rock. So there we have it.
That's sort means of like nothing. Scottish.
As in, the Boar's Rock!
The Boar's Rock!
We love the Boar's.
So yeah, just gibberish.
Right.
Ultimately. Yeah. Just talking shite.
So he did his research.
I also found that Peter Ling, the writer of this episode, co-created the show Crossroads.
What?
That's right. Means nothing to these two, but to you, Richie, a 40-year-old man.
Crossroads. That's Heartbeat.
No,
sorry.
That's Heartbeat. Yeah.
Wait, follow that tune straight through to the... The first one.
Yeah, Crossroads.
Thank you for having us on your show, Richie.
You're very welcome. Thank you for thank you for putting up with me. But I'm really glad that you enjoyed The Mind Robber.
I had a great time watching it. Yeah.
Good.
I think can I just take a quick second, because I think we can sometimes forget that is Richie's show, ultimately. We wouldn't be here without him. And I just want to say thanks very much for having us on and giving us another great episode to watch.
You're very welcome. As long as
brightened up my Sunday. Brightened up my, actually, similar to the last one, brightened up my Sunday morning. It was a good Sunday morning.
I always find that old Doctor Who, like, as we move into winter as well, I really like getting up early when it's a wee bit blustery and dark outside and getting a blanket and a cup of tea and sticking one on. It's a good... Yeah. Morning
scrambled
thing.
Egg.
Yeah.
And Richie, if you ever want to do this again, mm-hmm. I'll do one more.
Think again.
So pick a good one.
It's the last time you'll see Owen on I Hate Doctor Who.
Yeah, you'll get one more with me on it, and then any time I'm on after it, I'll have to be special guest.
Oh, I see.
Executive producer.
Above the title.
A very special episode.
When you move on to I Absolutely Hate Doctor Who.
I always go when I get to any of these podcasts, I'm like, should I do a thing where everyone's like, Who are you? Where will they find you? But
nah.
We're not.
Don't want anybody to find me.
They'll figure it out.
I think Doctor Who fans following us around?
Absolutely. No, I think this is something that we do that sometimes has new listeners. So, Gav, tell them about your thing.
You can find more of me at trdq.org. That's for Toy Reviews Done Quick, which are quick YouTube videos about various toys, mostly about Transformers. Owen, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've got going on?
Thanks, Gavin. I make YouTube videos under the title The Infinite Review. I'm reviewing the entire universe in a comedic fashion, one thing at a time. Check it out. It's good fun. So what about you, Sean? What do you do?
I have an animation studio called Studio Mala, M-E-A-L-A, and you can find all our cartoons on YouTube. Owen hosts the podcast of that. You should have mentioned that.
Yeah. Check out the Studio Mala podcast too.
And we will animate Doctor Who if they... want us to do that.
Yeah, if the BBC want to get in touch, we'll do... I mean, you don't want to say better.
I was going to say, that someone once said that Doctor Who is allergic to good animation.
You don't want to say better, but certainly not worse.
Yeah. We will not do a worse job.
You've made me realize that I might do a worse job. Maybe I will do a worse job.
Just to see if they say, that's fine.
Yeah, like, I mean, I know I can get away with it.
Thank you all once again. I will see all of you in the fullness of time. Bye, everyone.